From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day, a weak Iraqi government, but some progress in the ground war. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. That mixed assessment is from a new report by U.S. intelligence agencies. The administration will release parts of it today. The New York Times says the report is very skeptical of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's leadership.
Meanwhile, the release of the big report is still 3 weeks away. Army General David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker will assess the impact of the surge, the 30,000 extra U.S. troops since the beginning of the year. Day to Day has been asking Iraqis and Americans for their views on the surge this month. And just last week, Alex was in Junction City, Kansas on the radio, though not our radio.
KJCK, the talk of JC, presents Your Town.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Your Town on the talk of JC. I'm joined today by the host of Day to Day on the National Public Radio Network, Alex Chadwick. NPR is in Junction City. They are working on a story concerning military life in Junction City.
JC, Junction City, we are almost dead center in the middle of America, a long way from Iraq, still an excellent place to see what the war means. Sacrifice and suffering, sure, and people and prosperity. Fort Riley is here, 2 hours west of Kansas City, home base for the Army's 1st Division. That's more than 15,000 soldiers, more than 20,000 family members with them, and a lot more to come in the next few years. It's a military boomtown.
Junction City is known as an Army town. They're proud of it.
We stopped at the local history museum to see Galen Childs. Her husband is retired Army, and they stayed on.
The weather's not the most ideal. It can be darn scary at times. And yet, it's the people. The people are good.
Junction City celebrates its 150th anniversary next year, and the fort is even older. The trimmed grounds, where cavalry once trained, the handsome old limestone buildings. Amber McCall is living in one of them. She's married to an Army captain on the surge in Baghdad, his second tour. And from the insights she reads in his daily emails, things are better.
He has told me that he's starting to recognize people in a friendly way, in a good way, of course, because they're out more often. They recognize him. So the Iraqi people are feeling very comfortable with my husband's unit being where they are, that they can approach them. And, I mean, my husband's told me that they've caught several bad guys, too. So I know that that's a great success, not only to the military, of course, but obviously to the Iraqi people.
Her 2-year-old son napped upstairs. And all the time we talked, Amber fiddled with a bead bracelet that spelled out her husband's name, Brian. It's not fun with him gone, she said, but it's okay. Off base, I met other Army wives at a shopping center, and maybe it was the heat and the asphalt and the busy kids, but the strain seemed more apparent. Sasha Wingrove was struggling to get a big new baby seat box into the back of her minivan.
I love my country, but I being in the Army and facing now a 15-month deployment, it's just ridiculous. There's no other word for it.
How many kids do you have, and how old are they?
I've got a 2.5-year-old, a 1-year-old, and I'm due here in a couple weeks, so almost 3.
And another woman came walking down a row of cars. She wore white shorts, a blue football jersey, and 2 small tension lines where her nose bridged into her forehead.
You probably don't want my opinion.
Why is that?
Because I'm divorced. I divorced my ex because he went to Iraq for 17 months and came back and mentally was not stable.
Do you have kids?
I do. I have 3 kids, and he beat my son so bad we had to call an ambulance. I was with him for 10 years of my life, and I knew him. I knew the man that left, and he was not the same man that came home.
Could I get your name, please, miss?
Christina Pettit.
So did you think that the war was a part of that stress that came out on him?
I think it was a combination of the way that the military runs things and the support that they have for the families. Personally, I don't think it's fair that our soldiers have to go over there and duck and hide from bullets when we can't shoot back into these schools, when these Iraqis are taking cover in schools and churches, because that's why our men are getting killed.
Got fire!
The Army uses Fort Riley to test new training. They've got a mock Iraqi town here. And they hire local Kansans to play villagers. and the practice looks real.
We're not worried about no more bad guys unless they fired us. We got to get the hell out.
Still, even with the personal stories, how can you tell from here if the surge is working? But you can ask what it costs. Private First Class Dustin Fritchell left here for Iraq in February, part of the surge, and then he came back a couple of months later. He'd taken a nickel-sized piece of shrapnel in his midsection. It ruptured his spleen, tore a hole in his stomach, and destroyed a good length of intestine. So Private Fritchell really does understand the cost of war.
Would I say that, you know, what we're doing is worth it? Yes. I think what we're doing is worth it. Is it worth someone's life? No. Is it worth someone's limbs? No. But I would say that what we're doing over there is worth it in the sense where we're helping the people.
Is it worth your gut?
Is it worth my gut? It was, because I don't have it anymore, and I'm living, and I'm fine.
Well, he's not truly fine yet. It's going to take a year for him to heal. Anyway, he's just an Army private. Like the rest of us, he's going to be waiting to hear from General Petraeus in a few weeks.
If we threw 25,000 extra soldiers over there for the surge, and then everything that's happening over there is the exact same, then I don't really think the surge succeeded.
Okay, back to the radio talk show.
Go ahead, you're on with Alex.
Good morning. This is Andy Popovich, and I'm calling to say that I support the war. I don't support how the war is being prosecuted, and I'm not sure that we're fighting the right way.
What do you think we should be doing differently?
I've said in the past that we need to nuke them until they glow so we can shoot them in the dark.
Well, this is a conservative community. None of the other callers, all men, by the way, actually suggested nukes, but they were all very strong on backing the war. Still, I thought the voices that actually sounded most like Junction City were from women. I spoke with four wives one evening in a small meeting room at the First Christian Church. These interviews run a few minutes, but if you'd like to know what Army wives are thinking, listen.
My name is Rhonda Eggleston. My husband is a lieutenant colonel. He's also a doctor, and he was deployed during OIF-1, or Operation Iraqi Freedom 1, the first phase of the war.
My name is Jennifer Vetter, and my husband is Edward Vetter. He's a major. He's an executive officer of 1-1 CAB, and they're deploying on this coming week, and they'll be in Iraq for 16 months.
My husband is Chad Sublett. We've been here 2 years. He's with 134 AR, and he's been deployed almost a year.
And say your name?
Cassie Sublett, sorry.
And what about yourself? Your husband is about coming home, so he's not part of the surge, but he's actually seen it happen.
I don't feel like I've been affected negatively. It's been a hard year, but I think that I've grown, and individually, I'm in cosmetology full-time, and I had a baby 4 months ago, so we've had a lot going on this year.
Do you know what is going to happen when he comes back? Is he planning on staying in the military?
Absolutely. We're career. We will be in at least 20 years.
And Jen?
Yes.
Your husband is about to go.
Yes, yes.
And he's been how many times before?
He's been to Iraq one other time.
People who are not in the military may be less able to look at this as calmly as you do, because the prospect of my husband is leaving in 3 days to go to Iraq and be a helicopter pilot. There's a cost to this on you. And what is that cost?
It depends on how you look at it. You know, I was in the military myself, so we have a very unique relationship in that I understand what he's doing, what it's all going to be about for the next 16 months.
There are people who are listening to this radio program who'll say, yes, there would be value in doing this, but the sacrifice is just too great at this point. You can't keep on doing this. Iraq is not progressing in the way that it needs to progress. We can't really establish a society over there. They have to do it, and they're not. They're not.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that statement. I don't agree with that assessment.
This is going to take a while. You know, democracy doesn't happen overnight. You can't rebuild a whole nation in 3 years, 4 years. I mean, look at how long. We are still working on it in the United States. We still haven't gotten it 100% right. And yet, they want our soldiers to come home when they've only been there for a few years.
All of the sacrifices that we've made so far will have been for nothing. If we pull out now, the Iraqi people are not strong enough yet. They don't get it yet. It's not been long enough. And my husband missing my daughter's senior year in high school, him missing my second daughter's 16th birthday, will have been for nothing if we do that.
People want it, and they want it now. They want instant gratification. And this is not one of those situations where you're going to get instant gratification. It's going to come over time. And I think it needs patience.
Well, that's true. But, you know, we were told that the war was going to pay for itself. Iraqi oil reserves were going to, you know, pay for the war, that it was going to be a quick and easy victory.
Who said that?
Nobody said it was going to be quick and easy.
Nobody.
Bush said this is going to take time. He never promised quick and easy.
It just...
History has to judge that. History has to judge that. And I think that's where the discussion has come in. We've put the troop surge in, which gets us back to the point of all this. How do we feel about that? Are we going to support it as a country? Yeah, please, please support it. Please support our troops that way. General Petraeus is going to come out next month, and we're going to reevaluate again. More discussion will go on. That's how a free country works. But the Iraqi people need more time. And I think that's the point we need to stick with. But,
you know, just like you said, the military campaign was quick and easy. I mean, how can you go against some of the fighting vehicles that we have? I mean, there's no question. You know, of course, we went in and we took Baghdad, and it wasn't even a question. You know, now we've got the stability and the support part of this whole operation. And you've got soldiers that are going out and they're rebuilding hospitals and they're rebuilding schools, and they're doing things that don't involve picking up a weapon and shooting somebody. And these are skills that aren't taught at infantry basic training. You can't go against that. Yeah. You have to admit that. You know, you can say whatever you want, but you can't say anything against what our soldiers are doing over there, because they are doing amazing things. Little things that you never hear about. Those are great things they're doing.
Jennifer Vetter, Rhonda Eggleston, and Cassie Sublett, whose husbands are in Iraq, back from Iraq, or just on their way from Fort Riley in Junction City, Kansas. Our piece on Fort Riley and the surge was recorded and mixed by Carlos Asensio and produced by Shireen Meraji. Thanks also to KJCK 1420 AM in Junction City.